I'm going to be preaching out of Genesis chapter number 24. If you've been around the Bible very long, you know that in that chapter that Abraham has a servant that is in charge of all that Abraham has. And Abraham is going to send that servant out to seek out a bride for his son Isaac. And where the message was birthed in my heart, actually the entire series was birthed in my heart, was in a verse in Genesis chapter number 24, verse 27. The servant, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left my master, left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." Then he made this statement, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." That's where the entire series of messages was birthed in my heart. I, being in the way. Think about that for just a moment. We're living in a generation where God's will for one's life is many times so lightly approached. But here's a servant. Brother Steve, he can tell you why God has blessed him. He was saying, "I was in the way. The way of a servant. I was serving my master. And in that way, God led me." I want you to know today, God still wants to lead his people. God is still the shepherd. And we are still the sheep. And the sheep need to be led of the shepherd. I remind you that sheep are not the type of animal that can be driven like cattle. But sheep are the type of animal that must have someone to care for them and set the example for them and lead the way for them. And I thank God we have such a shepherd in the Lord Jesus Christ. A servant in the way. John F. Kennedy said years ago, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." You say, "Preacher, what's wrong in America today?" One thing that's wrong, it's just about half of the country is more interested in what the country can do for them than what they can do for their country. Amen. You might say, "Preacher, churches aren't what they used to be." I'd say, "Amen." I would. I'd say amen. And I tell you, a lot goes on in church where folks have the attitude, "I'm not here to see what I can do for my church or what I can do for my Lord, but I'm here to see what my Lord can do for me or what my church can do for me." How many knows the difference? Amen. I'm talking about servanthood. And we're going to talk a long time about it in this chapter. There's a lot to say, a lot to uncover, a lot to discover in the attitude and actions of Abraham's servant. And I want to address that today. You know, I believe I've said this before, there's no greater title than to be called a servant of the Most High God, a servant of the Lord. Many times Paul would say, "Paul, a servant, Jude, a servant, James, a servant." And I tell you, there's something to this that God would have us to see. I'm going to take my time because I don't want to miss anything. I looked this up, servant, in our English New Testament. It usually represents the Greek doulos or bond slave. Sometimes it means a diakonos, a deacon or a minister. This is strictly accurate. For doulos and diakonos are synonyms. Both words denote a man who is not at his own disposal, but is his master's purchased property. How many believes the Bible teaches we're not our own? We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, bought to serve his master's needs, to be at his beck and call every moment. The slave's sole business is to do as he is told. Christian service, therefore, means first and foremost living out a slave relationship to one's Savior. You remember, I don't have this in my notes, but in the Old Testament, a slave could be declared a lifetime slave. If he loved his master and he wanted to stay with his family, they would put his ear up to the doorpost and they would bore a hole in his ear. And what that told everybody in the community, everybody in the master's house, is that that slave so loved that master that he wanted to serve him the rest of his life. I want to go on record this morning as saying, this preacher so loves the Lord Jesus that I have a desire in my heart to serve him as long as I have breath in this body, and then to praise him for all eternity because I've had the opportunity to serve him and to know him. What work does Christ sent his servants to do? The way they serve him, he tells them, is by becoming the slaves of their fellow servants and being willing to do literally anything, however costly, irksome, or undignified, in order to help them. This is what love means, as he himself showed at the Last Supper when he played the slave's part and washed the disciples' feet. When the New Testament speaks of ministering to the saints, it means not primarily preaching to them, but devoting time, trouble, and substance to giving them all the practical help they need. The essence of Christian service is loyalty to the King, expressing itself in care for his servants. Only the Holy Spirit can create in us the kind of love toward our Savior that will overflow in sympathy and practical helpfulness towards his people. Unless the Spirit is training us in love, we are not fit persons to go to college or a training class to learn the know-how or particular branches of Christian work. Gifted leaders who are self-centered and loveless are a blight to the church rather than a blessing. James Parker said this, and I say, amen. Beloved, God is looking for servants. God is looking for those. You say, preacher, who would the ultimate example be? That would be Jesus. The Word of God said that Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. That's why he came, amen. And thank God that he did. The Apostle Paul comes to my mind. Everybody that knows their Bible knows that Paul was a wonderful example of Christianity in shoe leather. And the Apostle Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. That's what Paul said, and he meant it. As we look into this text today, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter number 24, I believe there's some things here that God can help us with. In Jeremiah 42, the Bible said that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. How many believes today that God has a will and a way for our life? And that, beloved, that is the most important thing in life. I believe that God wants us to seek his will and to do his will when we find it. Genesis chapter 24, the Bible said in verse 27, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I want to give you some things this morning. We're going to start in verse number 1. We're going to go through this chapter as long as it takes. Don't get scared. I'm telling you, God wants to speak to our hearts. And I believe that He will. I'm hoping that God will wet our whistle enough that we'll want to come back tonight. And come back Wednesday night. And come back and hear what God is saying concerning servanthood in this chapter. First of all, the Bible said in verse number 15, in verse number 1 of chapter number 24, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. I want to, in this first part of the message today, say that being in the way of a servant involves a promise. It involves a promise. I'm going to look at this today, and I hope and pray to God that God will speak to our hearts. Let me say this about the servant. He is never named in Genesis chapter number 24. I believe that's important. I believe if you study the Bible, and I had to, I believe if you go back to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, after these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. I believe in chapter number 24 that it is Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, that is serving in this chapter. But I also believe the Holy Ghost makes no mistakes, and I believe He is a wonderful type in chapter number 24 of the precious Holy Spirit of God. His name is not mentioned, but He's just called a servant over and over and over again. You say, preacher, why do you believe that's important? The servant's name is Eliezer. You know what his name means? I looked this up. Man, I'm so blessed, I'm about to shout. It means the God of help. Now you say, preacher, you made a bold statement saying that you thought He's a type of the Holy Ghost in Genesis 24. Let me tell you why I believe that. The Holy Spirit of the living God is the Paraclete. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means one called alongside to help. Aren't you glad this morning that every child of God is not alone in this world? But thank God Jesus said, I must needs go away. If I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. But thank God He went away. And the one that comes alongside to help the believer has come down to stay with us and see us through this life's journey. It's important. The Paraclete, one called alongside to help. Being in the way of a servant involves a promise. The promise is twofold, and I want you to see this. God spoke to my heart about this. In verse number 2, Abraham, he said to his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all, put, I pray thee, that was a custom. Put your hand under my thigh. It was a custom in Israel. What it meant was there was some serious business about to take place. An oath was about to take place. And beloved, it's better not to vow at all than to make a vow and break it, the Word of God said. But the servant was about to make a vow. Abraham said, put your hand under my thigh. Watch verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Listen, Abraham was concerned. Abraham wanted Isaac to have a wife that was not a Canaanite, that would come from back home of his own people. And he made the servant swear to such. It involved a promise. There was a promise from the servant to the master. Look at verse number 9, if you would, for just a moment. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning the matter. In other words, what Abraham wanted the servant to do, the servant did it. He made the promise to Abraham. I will carry out your wishes. I will do what you've asked me to do, what you've bid me to do, or if you please, what you have commanded me to do. The Bible in these verses here teaches us, my friend, there's a promise from the servant to the master. But I want you to see not only that, there's a promise from the master to the servant. You see, I don't think it's wrong, and we put a lot of emphasis on the things that God has promised you and I. Hey, man, this Bible's full of them. Promises that God has made to His children. But I'll tell you, in my ministry, I've heard very little emphasis put on the promises that the children make to the master. Am I right or am I wrong? I see in this chapter, if we're going to be a servant, Brother Gary, there's nothing wrong with telling the master, where you lead me, I will follow. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I surrender all. You're the captain of our salvation. I am the clay. You are the potter. Have your way in my life. And promise to serve Him. Where'd Laura go? Where you at, Laura? She's in the nursery. His way, as she sang in the song a while ago, to love Him and serve Him His way. I'll be honest with you. Listen to me carefully this morning. I'm not fussing. But there's a whole lot of churches taking on the world's way, trying to do God's work. There's a whole lot of Christians tripped up and fouled up. They're trying to do God's work the world's way. And God has never sanctioned that. God wants us to do, listen, I say if the tithes and the offerings won't get it done, then a yard sale sure ain't going to get it done either. A car wash sure ain't going to get it done either. You say, preacher, you fussing? No, I'm not fussing. I'm just thanking God that we can believe God and serve Him His way. His way. Some people think it don't matter what you do, that the ends justifies the means, and that is not true. That is not true. Beloved, there's a promise from the master to the servant. Look at verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Eliezer made a promise to Abraham. But Abraham made a promise to Eliezer. I believe that's important. I believe it's very important. And by the way, if you look at Genesis chapter number 24, I'm taking my time and I'm doing it on purpose. You say, preacher, how many things you got to cover? 11, if you want to know. That's all right. We're going through this chapter. And God's going to make a better servant out of this before we get done. That's what I'm trusting Him to do. Make me a better servant. Give me more of a servant's heart. Brother David, what do we need to see right here? First and foremost is this was not initiated by the servant. It was initiated by the master. This whole conversation in Genesis 24, it's not like the servant showed up one day and said, Master, what do you want me to do? No, he had already been doing everything that the master bid him to do. But the master broke in on his life. I'll tell you something we need right now. Thank God for a good youth program. Thank God for a good children's church. But what we need is for God to break in on some young people's plans, on some middle-aged people's plans, on some seniors' plans. We need God to break in and initiate a conversation. We're not too old to serve the Lord. We're not too young to serve the Lord. If we know the Lord, we can be a servant in the way. This morning, I don't know if that's you, but think about this. Next Sunday, Brother Jim, some of the men of the church have already got us some things laid out. We're going to commemorate our veterans. I've already been thinking about the service. I don't know how God's going to lead. I'm just going to let him lead. I did it the way the Lord led me. But there's one word that comes to my mind over and over and over as I've meditated on the service last week, and that's the word freedom. Thank God I am free. Thank God this morning we have the freedom in America to serve the Lord. A whole lot of places in this world where the church is underground. You know what I mean? You can't get up and preach like this. You can't even read the Bible. You can't even possess a Bible and get caught with it. We've got several. Most of us have got several copies of the precious Word of God. Oh, beloved friend, there's a promise from the master to the servant. There's a promise from the servant to the master. What if every time, listen to me, I'm talking to you from my heart. What if every time, Brother Brian, you stood up to give the announcements? What if every time you talked about a family, or we just mentioned someone, maybe like Sister Teresa or like Mandy, that going up to New York to have surgery? What if every time our ears and our heart just perked up and said, wonder, Lord, if there's an opportunity for service? There's going to be food prepared. There's going to be visitation next Saturday. Every time Brother Brian makes an announcement, there's a Sunday school class going. I wonder if there's an opportunity. I wonder, and what if we were just rejoicing in every opportunity? We have a missionary to come in. Wonder if there'll be an opportunity. Wonder if there'll be an opportunity to serve the Lord. Two kinds of people in God's families. Those that are looking for opportunities to serve. And those that are dodging the opportunities to serve. Let me tell you something right now. I don't know you and I don't know your heart. That's the truth. I'm your pastor and I'm your friend. But God knows your heart. God knows my heart. Let me tell you this. It'll be a happy day in your life when you're more concerned about what's going out of your life than what's coming into your life. That'll be a happy day in your life. When you're more concerned about what I can be and what I can do to help someone else than what someone else can do or be to help me. Beloved, this servant, he's in the way. The Lord's leading him. Let me give you one more thing this morning. Are y'all okay? I mean that. This is an important message. It could be of vital importance to our church. God sent it. It's not something I come up with. It's something he come down with. I've said for years, the best pastors are servants. The best deacons are servants. The best Sunday school teachers are servants. The best youth workers are servants. The best Christians are servants of the Most High God. They're servants. They're servants. Well, The second thing I want you to see, being in the way of a servant involves a promise, number one. Number two, being in the way of a servant involves a purpose. Let me just say this morning. I'm not trying to be mean. I don't know if it's touched anybody's family immediately here. Not trying to be mean. But last night, Brother Sam, I'll guarantee you there were men in our community in places where women were taking their clothes off and where there was a big bar and they were getting drunk and they were having a party. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. They don't have any purpose in life. Last night, there are people that rolled their arm, their sleeves up and stuck a needle in their arm, put a rubber band around their arm. Last night, there were people that got them a handful of pills and popped them in there and chased them with liquor, knowing you wasn't supposed to mix the two. And maybe somebody's already went out into eternity. Why? Brother Wade, because they have absolutely no purpose in life. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you have a reason to get up in the morning? Aren't you glad you have a reason to take a shower and put your clothes on? Aren't you glad you have a reason to live? Aren't you glad, thank God, you have a purpose in life? You say, preacher, what's that got to do with Genesis 24? Let me show you. Look what the Bible said right here. The Bible said here, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven. Verse number 3, the God of the earth, thou shalt take a wife, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites whom I dwell. Thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. He said, preacher, I don't understand what that's got to do with the church. Let me tell you what the church is. Honey, the church is the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the bride. And my friend, I have a purpose in this world to go out and tell others He wants them to be part of His bride. He's seeking out a wife. I'll tell you something right now. I'm glad I'm part of His bride. And as soon as somebody becomes part of His bride, Brother Arnold, you know what happens? Just like the woman at the well. Just as soon as she got help, she went back to town because she knew a bunch of old boys that didn't have any purpose in life. She knew a bunch of old boys, amen, that didn't have any reason to live. And she told them, come see a man that told me all things ever that I've done. It's not this the Christ. I believe this morning that every child of God has a greater purpose than any other purpose on the face of God's green earth. And that purpose is to live and to serve in such a way that someone else would look at their life, Brother Johnny, say, that old boy's got something I don't have. He's got something that I need. Maybe you're going out to eat this afternoon. Why don't you remember that and how you treat the waitress? The waitresses will tell you the Sunday afternoon crowd's a crowd they dread the most. People are rude. Are you listening to me? People leave half of a tip. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, God's people ought to go the extra mile. To wear a smile. Have a good attitude. Let me tell you this, if you're going to be rude, please don't tell anybody down there where you go to church. Please don't tell them. But be kind. Be tenderhearted. That waitress or waiter may be having a hard time. Amen. A purpose. He said, you know, let me ask you something. Bruce, do you think about this just a minute? Abraham's got all this. Man, he's a rich man. Eliezer's in charge of it all. But there's something more important right now in chapter 24 than everything that Abraham has. Even the management of all of his possessions, there's something more important. God's blessed me with a son. God has a son. His name's Jesus. And God knows that one day the bridegroom is going to be yoked up with the bride. You say, preacher, what's our purpose in being left here on the earth? I tell you, serve Him, love Him, introduce others to Him. We have a purpose in this walk of life. The missionaries, Brother Grizzle, there come a day in their life. Are you Martha or Esther? You're Esther. You're not lying to me, are you? Okay. These girls kid me a lot. I know they do. They say they don't. I know they do. I don't know if I've ever told Esther this or not. I know I have told it. Years ago, their daddy, Rudy, just going through life, working at the glass plant. He just had seven young'uns. I don't know why in the world he didn't go ahead and have a big family while he was at it. The Rock of Ages got up in one of our conferences, Brother Johnny, and said, we need a maintenance man. We need somebody that can paint and change light bulbs and mow the grass and just tend to the properties. The ministry was growing. And you know what? God put that in Brother Rudy's heart. He had a good job, Brother David. He had good insurance. Had a big family. How old were you at that time, honey? 14 years old. God put that in his heart. So he went in, talked to Dr. Gene Hooker. He said, Brother Gene, I know God put it in my heart. I'm your man. I'm your maintenance man. Brother Gene looked at him and said, there was a fluorescent light in the office. He said, you ever change one of them bulbs? He said, no. Brother Gene, he's told it publicly. I thought, oh my goodness. Here's somebody who wants to be a maintenance man, don't know how to change a fluorescent light. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'd rather have somebody surrendered to God than I would that knowed how to change every light bulb that's ever been made. But he looked at Brother Gene. He said, but if you'll show me how one time, it'll be all right. I'll change them. Bunch of them, he'd never framed anything up before. Bunch of them down there working together. They went for lunch. Brother Rudy just kept framing. Another time they were wiring. They were putting wire through the wall. They went to lunch. He just kept wiring. He'd watch and he'd learn. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I was his pastor when he stepped away from his job, away from his insurance, moved his family down to Cleveland, Tennessee. And I tried my best. I said, Brother Rudy, be careful. I said, your first obligation is to your family. Your first obligation is to your family. Brother Rudy, he didn't much think that was his first obligation. His first obligation was to his Lord. And he knew if he would do what the Lord wanted him to do, that the Lord would take care of his family. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it's a happy day when it's no longer about me, but it's about Him and it's about others. It's a happy, happy day, a purpose. We see here these first two things in the message today that Eliezer, it involved a promise and it involved a purpose. The promise was both ways. From the master to the servant and from the servant to the master. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you promised God anything? You know what we hear a lot of times? Listen to me. We hear promises like this. God, if you'll do this. Boy, I could fill in the blanks right there in a lot of different ways. I'll do this. How about a promise like this? God, you're God. And besides you, there's none else. And Lord, I don't belong to myself. When I met you at Calvary and you forgave me of my sin, Lord, I belong to you. I don't belong to anyone else. Lord, I want to serve you your way. I'll tell you something right now. When that day comes, it is a happy, happy, happy day. How many knows there's a struggle goes on in the bosom of every believer? Even that great man, the Apostle Paul, said, "The things that I would do, I do not. The things that I would not do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?" But he didn't finish there. He said, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In another passage of Scripture, he said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." He discovered the secret. He discovered the secret. When's the last time you promised God anything? You see, I believe with all my heart that when you promise God something, it's not just for time. It's for eternity. Years ago, again, I don't remember exactly when it was. It was very soon after the Lord saved me. I don't remember the place. I don't remember the time. Sister Cindy, when I got saved for 2 weeks, I didn't even know my feet were touching the ground. I've never been so happy in all of my life. It was just like I was walking in the clouds. But I do remember a promise that I made to the Lord. I said, "God, I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do." And I stand here today telling you as a people, I have not, and by the grace of God, will not renege on that promise that I made God. You say, "Preacher, you act like you're happy." I'm not acting. I am happy. When I wrote that comment in that card, Brother Brian, about a place in his vineyard, I would rather have that than every brick of gold that's ever been mined. I'd rather just have, you could give me all the gold that's ever been mined, but if I didn't have a little place in the vineyard of our Lord, I would be a most miserable man. Amen. This morning, are you a servant? Are you one looking for what you can do to help somebody else? You know, Brother Wayne, chances are we'll never meet those children in Belize where those boxes are going. Brother Wayne, are they putting gospel tracts in them boxes? You do? That's good. Think about this for just a minute. Think about being around the throne of God with some little youngin' running up. Now, I don't know how all that'll be. We're going to be like Christ. We'll have the mind of Christ. We'll know even as also we're known. But discovering somehow that because you were willing to spend $20 or $25 and put a box of stuff together, it melted somebody's heart. They read God's plan of salvation and the Word of God spoke to their heart. You say, "Preacher, you're dreaming." If I am, I beg you, don't wake me up. I happen to believe, Brother Gary Joe, that the Word of God will not return void, that it will accomplish whereunto He sent it. Brother Wayne, if this message is taken to heart, there'll probably be some more boxes going across the sea. Amen. I believe that. If this message is taken to heart, there'll be some more ladies who want to join a food committee. If this message is taken to heart, oh, I ain't even done yet. I'm just getting started. But if it's taken to heart, there are going to be some more people saying, Brother Steve, what could I do? Is there somewhere I could go? Brother Steve's going to pie out the area. Could I take one of those slices of pie and go down through those doors and let them know there's a church that cares? Let them know that Christ died for them? You say, Preacher, I'm not too good at talking. Go with somebody that is. How many's with me this morning? I'm telling you, God's already put it in my heart. This is a very, very important message. We might not be shouting and swinging from the chandeliers. Let me tell you something about Jesus and serving Him. It ain't all shouting and swinging from the chandeliers. Sometimes the shepherd loves us so much, he just wants to come right down where we are and help us. Help us. Father in heaven, thank you today for the privilege to preach the gospel. I'm so glad, Lord, that you loved Abraham, you loved Sarah, that God, you made that promise to them. You gave them a son. Not only, Lord, did you give them a son, but through this servant, Eliezer, through Abraham, the promises they made to one another, you gave that son a wife. Lord, I just meditate and think about Rebecca. What a lady. God, this morning, I pray, work in our hearts. Help our folks, Lord, every one of them to know that the upper shepherd and the under shepherd is not interested in hurting them, but helping them. Lord, thank you for our people. God, I just know that if we're not careful, from the pulpit to the pew, we'll become complacent. We'll become eat up with a spirit of apathy, thinking somebody else will do it. Lord, one man said, if not me, who? If not now, when? If not here, where? Help us, Lord. God, you've come to help us. You are the God of help. Be our Eliezer this day, Father. Help us in Jesus' name.